Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. All right, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome, one and all, to a Throwdown Thursday, and it is a Burgundy and Gold game day, and we are not in Burgundy and Gold land. Nope, we are in South Philadelphia at Lincoln Financial Field. For the next 3 hours, we'll take you through right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Maddie's back in studio, or what I'm looking at is like a little piece of Tuscany on my computer screen. I'll put up a picture of that. And then the birthday boy, wow, is he decked out. Man, that is some getup you're wearing, some costume you're wearing. Whew, if everybody could see what I'm seeing.
Courtesy of Matthew Essex, I shouldn't be surprised.
I'm great.
I'm surprised there's not like a clone of me in here.
I mean, seriously. You look great. This is the best I've ever seen you look, birthday boy.
I just wanted
boy.
To make sure that you had an out-of-this-world birthday.
That's my guy. There we go.
I'm going to try and put up a picture of it as soon as I get a chance. But because it took, first of all, happy birthday. Everybody,
thank
welcome
you,
aboard.
Friend.
It is a Burgundy and Gold game day right here on the Team 980. We'll take you through over the next 3 hours. We'll take your calls, all that good stuff. We'll have extensive game preview. We've got a bunch of topic questions that we want to get into that, surprisingly, the YIC, the main event Messiah, actually liked. I was blown away when I got a return text saying, wait a second, I like what you want to talk about.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. But I will say this about today and then what's going to transpire tonight, because the hell with my birthday. This is the biggest game in a long time for this team, in my opinion, in terms of relevancy, what it means. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it. If they win tonight, I think their chances to win the NFC East skyrocket dramatically because of their schedule down the stretch versus Philadelphia's schedule down the stretch. But I texted you, was it this morning when I was texting you this? I woke up in the middle of last night, and I was just like, we're going to win today.
Mm-hmm.
It was about 3 o'clock this morning. So we're going to win today.
You just had a feeling.
I had a hankering. The last time we were in prime time on my birthday was Monday night in Philadelphia.
It was. And right at this very stadium.
Right at that very venue that you're at. So I think that this team is going to be geeked up to go out and right their wrongs of Sunday. And I just think, man, Jaden has come up big in every big time spot this year except for last Sunday. How does he bounce back after failing in primetime for the first time last week?
Well, did he fail? I mean, they failed ultimately. Did
but he was
fail?
Not him. Because
he was not
he was not. Because in that Baltimore game, I continue to say it coming out, that was their biggest game to date. That was his best performance of the season, in my opinion. When you consider all the things that he didn't have with Brian Robinson, and that was the first time playing without him, and he handled his business.
I thought he was sharper against Baltimore, yes, than
for
Pittsburgh.
Sure.
But Pittsburgh's also a better defense.
For sure. I would give them credit for that, too.
Better pass rush, better linebackers, better secondary.
I just think the things that Pittsburgh was able to do defensively, I really question whether or not Philadelphia can replicate that, especially if Brian Robinson gets back to the efficient Brian Robinson that's giving you 3.5-4 yards a pop, keeping you ahead of the chains, that matters. It's a key part of this offense. And maybe it's enough to allow Jaden to get back to being impactful as a runner, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, you certainly hope that he hasn't been you certainly hope he's been hampered, or at least in one game, that he was hampered more by not having Brian Robinson and going against a super well-schooled defense than he was hampered by either play calling or by the ribs and them trying to protect something, because everybody has talked, including Jay Gruden, including Doc earlier this week on this show, that, you know, you see Jaden from time to time wince or grimace or what have you on the sideline. It's impossible, you know, for us up in the press box as far back as we are to see inside the helmet and eyes. But then obviously, if you're watching the game on television, you might see that a time or two. So you hope that he has been hampered and or limited at least last week, because certainly I didn't feel that way against the Giants. You felt that way a little bit against the Bears, but not really. They ran read option against the Bears early and several times, and that was his first game back, and we didn't even know if he was going to play. That was his first game back, right? So you kind of hope that he's been somewhat neutralized, hampered by extending plays, making plays with his legs, because without Brian Robinson, the offense presents a different look and a different dynamic. Now, I don't know if you can absolutely draw a one-to-one parallel. Probably not. But Matt, what are you doing? Matt's got weird ears on his head. But anyway, you hope that that's been the reason. But then again, that wasn't really that didn't really stop him at MetLife Stadium 2 weeks ago, right? And Brian Robinson was out in that game. So you got to kind of wonder what effect everything has on each other, right? Sure, Brian Robinson making his return to the lineup tonight, as long as something doesn't go wrong pregame, and by pregame I mean before 6:45 when the inactives are out. You know, you wonder, Linnell, if again, just by getting him back, that opens up some read option looks, some quarterback keeper looks, the mesh, where the defensive end has to honor the absolute give into the belly of B-Rob, because if you don't and you're just playing the takeoff of the quarterback and the quarterback keep because you don't fear what's coming in the middle and you don't fear what could crease you on the handoff, you know, you kind of wonder if that psychologically will free some things up for the Commanders offense.
I think it has to. And that is another reason why he, in my opinion, has been limited in the run game the past couple of weeks. The efficiency, the vision that Brian Robinson is running with, mm-hmm. and how hard he hits it. It's no disrespect to Austin Ekeler. It's no disrespect to the other backs that carry the football. Brian Robinson is just a different cat. And I think, you know, he has improved dramatically, in my opinion, from the vision standpoint of things. You haven't seen as many of the cutback runs from the other backs that you see with him. The yards after contact is the big thing for me that – he makes you right 9 times out of 10. Even when Tyler Biadasz does get beat, even when Allegretti does get beat, he's breaking the initial tackle of that defensive lineman, yards turning runs contact, right? That should be 2 yard losses into 1 yard gains, or, you know, stalemates. So like that part of the offense is huge. And we talked about it yesterday. Their inability last weekend to have any sort of rhythm or continuity, in large part, was because they couldn't stay ahead of the chains. They were negative plays after negative play after negative play. Mm-hmm. You couple that with the mistakes they made, and you get the type of offensive outing that they had.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, you hope that a lot of that, if not all of that, goes away. Now, let's not be silly here and think that this is going to be easy just because you get Brian Robinson back, right? I think we all know and understand that it's not going to be easy just because of that. So they're going to have to do some other things like, I don't know, catch the ball a lot better.
For sure.
Than they did, certainly, last week, right? We all know that was a problem last week. No matter which way you want to color it, no matter what statistic you want to come up with, whether you're talking drops, pure drops, or non-catches or catches that you should have made, it was a problem last week. So Brian Robinson could come back and Brian Robinson could be Brian Robinson, but that doesn't mean that if the other parts of the offense are kind of broken.
For sure.
you know, and guys aren't making catches that they probably should make. Not that, again, I went back and I watched a bunch of the drops. Somebody put together like a string of highlights or whatever. Like people call things that are drops that are not drops. They're just non-catches or they're contested non-catches. You know, everybody should know what we're talking about. If we're talking about drops, contested catches, non-catches, what have you, if you have 7, 8, 9 of those over the course of tonight, you're probably not going to win this, even if Brian Robinson is Brian Robinson, even if he is breaking tackles, even if he is getting yards after contact, and even if Jaden is perfectly right, because you have to have everything kind of in sync. Oh, and by the way, what if Brandon Coleman doesn't play, or Andrew Wiley is active but doesn't play again, or Tyler Biadasz gets banged up again like he did last week?
Well, here's my thing.
All of these things can play into, you know, account and take you out of your game plan and rhythm.
You brought up something that I don't think we've hit on enough this week. It frustrated the hell out of me Sunday that Tyler Biadasz, and look, I'm gonna call it straight every time. I mean, you can not like my choice of words. You can say I'm being hard. I'm being objective. You screwed your teammates. You gave a big middle finger to your teammates last week. If you're selfish to put yourself in there at not 100%, and if when it's an ankle injury at that position, your ability to anchor is everything. And we saw, you know, the trickle-down effect of him not being healthy. He got beat like a drum. Keanu Benton, Cam Hayward were consistently pushing him back. If that's the case this week, and you're going up against Big Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter and Milton Williams, if you're not healthy, man, put Mike Dieter in. Because he's going to get the healthiest guy is going to give you the best shot, man.
Is that Biadasz's call, though, or is that the trainer saying, hey, man, he's okay. He's saying he's okay. We think he's okay.
In a game situation, you know, a lot of the times the player, that their voices.
Yeah, that's where the trainer's got to stay in, and maybe there was something a little bit wrong, but not prohibitive enough for him to play, and that was kind of the problem. Then it's on the coaches to say, that's not good enough. You know, so I think it kind of comes in concert with each other. But, yeah, if you're going against those big war daddies in the middle of the Eagles' defense and you're getting your ass beat, then at some point you would expect maybe Dieter to come in and take over the rest of the way, and maybe Biadasz, you know, can suit him up back again in 10 days or whatever it is against Dallas.
And here's the other piece of this where you could have a schematic advantage and kind of get Philly out of what they want to do. Vic Fangio's defense is pretty – I'm not going to call it vanilla, but they do an excellent job trying to disguise their coverages and rolling into things at the snap and muddying up that picture for the quarterback. You know, one thing that can mitigate that, as well as Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter and company on the interior, if they can get back to the efficient tempo stuff, if they can get back to, you know, catching Philly in a certain package and continuing to do what they do to have success. I think the tempo stuff today is going to be huge as well, especially for that defensive front where they got guys. I don't think they have depth. I don't think they have a tremendous amount of depth. And if you get them tired, that's when you see, you know, the gap discipline and the rush lane integrity kind of fade away as the game goes on. So it all starts to me, though, with Brian Robinson. If you keep ahead of the chains with him, mix the tempo back in, get back to who the hell you've been for the first 9 weeks of the season.
Well, so kind of the question that goes along with that, right? Coach Sheehan was talking about this at the end of his show, and I don't remember the exact number, but they ran, I don't know, like 45 times 2 years ago the night that you were talking about with your birthday, right? And they didn't average more than like 3.2 yards per carry. They were great in the first half of that game. Mm-hmm. They were running all over their asses. And then, now that was without Jalen Carter, of course, because he wasn't drafted until after that. But that was, they were running all over their asses. They didn't have the same success level in the second half, but they still stayed with it. And that's what I want to find out about Cliff Kingsbury. Remember what we were talking about yesterday? Did Cliff get away from the run game in some of these games, and specifically last week because of the negative plays, because he didn't think they could run against that very good Pittsburgh front? And again, it's not just defensive linemen, it's linebackers for Pittsburgh. And we talked about Patrick Queen all over the place and others. Did he get away with that because he didn't have Brian Robinson? Did he get away with it because he thought something else would work? Like, what happened? So if they establish Brian Robinson early, which I think we would all agree is probably the smartest thing, not only to get B-Rob involved, not only to remove pressure from that offensive line and Jaden Daniels and maybe even the wide receivers, if they get him involved early, again, do they drift away from him even at times that we've seen with B-Rob in there? Where, what was the game? Was it the Chicago game where they kind of drifted away from
I think that was
B-Rob.
The game he got hurt, though. So.
Yeah, it was, and that certainly contributed. But there's been other games where I think maybe they kind of drifted away a little bit because he was hurt, obviously, before that. He was even banged up in the Carolina game when he came back after missing the Baltimore game. But my point is, if he's ready to go and if he's healthy and it's not an injury situation, does Cliff get away from it slowly but surely over the course of the game, or does he stay with it? And as you pointed out in our little text, is the hammer back, right? Is the hammer going to continue to drive nails into the Lincoln Financial Field playing surface, for lack of a better analogy? Is he going to continue at a rate of, I don't know, can they run the ball? Nobody expects them to run the ball 45 times. Can they run the ball 35 times as a team? They ran the ball 21 times, and not all of that was by call and design last week. Can they top at least 30? If they don't get to 30, I think that's a really bad sign for a lot of reasons.
I would agree with you, and I think the time of possession thing is crucial as well. Like, that's what was so head-scratching about, I don't even want to say head-scratching, what made it feel so bad about last weekend. When you lose the time of possession battle by 13 whole minutes, it's just completely deviating away from what they have been for the first 9 weeks. And you saw it, you know, throughout that game, what they look like when they aren't in control of things. It felt like they were on the defense offensively all game long.
Yeah.
Is the best way that I could put it. And it led to them getting sped up. And honestly, I think it leads to the mistakes as well. They never got into a rhythm. And I think that's because the run game was non-existent.
Yeah. I mean, listen, all of these points are, I think we're, you know, pretty much in sync with each other. I know you don't want to get behind the sticks. I know you don't want to get behind the chin. But as I continuously point out, and this is something that all the, again, analytics amigos that hate running the football on first and 10 because it's such an obvious tell and an obvious thing and defenses know how to shut it down. You can have negative plays on first and 10 passes. You can have sacks. You can have penalties. You can have what Deami Brown did not once but twice last week, where, again, they throw a quick out to the sideline or to the outside wide receiver spot, not even like a little tunnel screen where the receiver is kind of drifting in towards the quarterback and in towards the offensive line group, but he's just out there, right? And then all of a sudden something blows up in terms of his blocking scheme, which has happened plenty of times this year. I can't tell you how many times they've run like a quick, quick wide receiver screen, right? And where the blocking it happened on, I think, the first play of the Giants game back in week two, when everybody was all over Terry. They tried to get the ball into Terry's hands real quick, and they did, but the blocking failed. And that time it was Luke McCaffrey, right? And I know guys are not always going to sustain their blocks. I got it. I understand that. We've seen it time and time. As a matter of fact, Jahan Dotson, the final play that I think sealed the deal for his trade here to Philadelphia was exactly what I'm talking about in Miami in the preseason game. It was a quick out. It was a quick wide receiver screen. The blocking, he was basically to be the lead blocker, and he blew it, and he lost his block, and the receiver got blown up by the same defender that Jahan was supposed to block. And I think they were like, okay, we're done with this. And it's happened from time to time this year where you get the ball out, you get a completion, you get what you think is going to be at least 3, 4, 5 yards, what have you. Maybe it's first and 10, maybe it's second and 10. And because the blocking breaks down or because something weird happens, you get what happened twice to Deami Brown last week, which turns a pass and what should be a positive into a negative. So for everybody out there that says, oh, you can't keep running the ball if you get no gain or if you lose yard on
you
first,
have
I,
to
I get it. Yeah. You don't want to, but to your point, you have to, Leno.
Yeah, and it's all a part of, that's why I keep using the term exotic smash mouth football. I didn't get to say it last week. It wasn't so exotic. They were getting punched in the mouth for the better part of the game. So
wait, you created that term?
Well,
right?
100%. It's never, you know, often imitated, never duplicated. But no, it's a key part of what they do,
right?
But it's not as if Philadelphia's pass defense is all world. Yeah. You're going to have the advantage, in my opinion, against their guys. Now, Cooper DeJean is playing tremendous ball in the slot. Quinyon Mitchell was doing some good things at outside corner.
Yeah.
But Terry McLaurin is top five in the NFL in receiving yards, top five in the NFL in receiving touchdowns. And as much as Quinyon Mitchell plays press man coverage, Terry has torched it all year long. So if they're going to do that, and that's going to be – that's why it's so important to get them to get the run game established. Mm-hmm. If you make Philadelphia crowd the line of scrimmage to stop Brian Robinson and Eckler and Daniels, then you get those one-on-one opportunities outside with Terry. And I like Terry against all of their DBs all day long.
Well, and there's another matchup that I want to explore when we come back that has something to do with the other side of that, because I think what you say is an absolutely good point, but it's another way that this Washington Commanders team can spring a little bit of an upset here. Not that it would be a shocking upset, not that it would be a major upset.
Well, you know, is it an upset if
I mean, certainly that's a question we can explore, right? I mean, the Commanders, I tell you this much, right? Every team thinks they can win in any game and anywhere and any place and anyhow and at any point, whatever. But this team, I truly believe, thinks they can win and thinks they should win. And the question is, will they, of course? But also, one of the things we wanted to explore besides that other wide receiver matchup that I was just mentioning, is this a must win? Is this a you should win, or is this a low chance to win? Okay.
That's spicy,
one of those three, we want you guys to weigh in on: must win, should win, low chance to win. One of those three, have it be your pick. There's no wrong answers. I mean, as long as you can back it up, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We'll come back and explore the other side of that wide receiver matchup that Nell was just talking about, because I think I have something that could be a major factor for the Washington Commanders if they are to indeed win this game. We will do so next. I'm live at Lincoln Financial Field here in Philadelphia before Thursday night football. Again, of course, we will have you covered all day long. Nell and I with you until 4 o'clock, along with Matty Ice. 301-230-0980. Back in a flash on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Happy 27th birthday to the youngest in charge. Getting older by the day. He says he doesn't care about his birthday, boys and girls, because there's a football game on tonight. And that is true. Thursday night football here at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, where I am overlooking literally real-life birds as they flock right past the windows here in the press box on the upper level. I mean, I'm serious. They're not eagles, but they're real-life birds, and they call them the birds around here. So we're getting an early dose of the birds. Hopefully the Commanders don't get too many doses of the birds. We're going to get to the offense and defense, or I should say the Philadelphia offense coming up. We're going to get to all your calls, 301-230-0980. But now, before we actually answer the question about must win, should win, low chance to win, as just a kind of caller topic, if you will, one thing I wanted to kind of explore with you is if Quinyon Mitchell and Terry McLaurin are going to go at it, right? And if we say, well, maybe Terry's got a slight lean based on experience, based on whatever, to that, and Terry's had a great year, even though he didn't score a touchdown last week, he was still great. All those slants, I loved it because I thought, you know, that was going to be a big part of the game plan against the pass rush. I thought they would throw more running back screens. They didn't really do enough of that for my liking. But
they can't execute it, Chris.
I know. But they at least executed the slants. Well, one thing I wonder about tonight, right, if Quinyon Mitchell and Terry is the primary matchup, right, that means Darius Slay, the wily old veteran who struggled at the beginning of this year but has turned it up a little bit, is probably going to draw a lot of Noah Brown. And Noah Brown, you know, say whatever you want about Noah Brown's hands. He's had a couple of drops, non-contested drops, whatever you want to call them, right, including on that final series along the sideline last week. He's also made some plays. And the other thing that he's done, he's drawn at least 4 defensive pass interferences. And they're not like 5-yard DPIs. They're deep down the field along the sideline, like stretch vertically you know, penalty-inducing routes. And those don't show up always in the box score, but if you know, you know. If you watch, you watch now. And to me, I wonder, like a guy like Darius Slay, right? He's been a handsy player. He's up there again a little bit in age. He's got two penalties only on the year, so that's not that bad. He's yielded 17 catches on 29 targets, according to PFF, two touchdowns, a 10-6 average, right? Again, not alarming numbers by any means, but I wonder if that's the matchup that they might be able to take advantage of in this game.
Yeah, I agree 100%. The other thing to me, like Noah Brown, from an intangible standpoint, from like the blocking, the physicality at the catch point, like he is 100% exceeded my expectations for what I thought he was going to be. This was the number four guy in Houston. Now, granted, Houston's got a really good receiving core.
Right, that's a deep stable, correct.
But I just didn't expect him to come in here and have this type of impact this quickly. You mentioned now the downfield thing on the pass interference. This has become a game-in, game-out thing. Like, this has become routine that he's drawing these big-time pass interferences down the field. I think him and Jaden, there's a comfortability there. Right.
He didn't draw one last week, but he did early in the Giants game.
No, he drew one last week, didn't he?
Did he?
Yeah, he drew one last week.
Yes. Am I forgetting about that? Okay. Oh, you know what? You're right.
On the right sideline.
My bad. I'm sorry.
Joey Porter had a handful of them.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I totally forgot about that. And he did the one at MetLife, which then set up the quick Terry.
Against Chicago.
Yeah, slant. Exactly. So he's got at least four on the year. He might even have five.
And they're big chunk plays, Chris, as you mentioned. So you can't understate the impact that it's having. And that's the next layer of this offense, in my opinion, because you may see it tonight from Vic Fangio, depending on what type of respect they give Terry McLaurin. If teams are going to bracket Terry and try to double Terry, someone else in this receiving core has got to emerge and be able to beat single coverage on a consistent basis. Mm-hmm. Noah Brown has been okay with it. Hasn't been as consistent as he maybe should be. Luke McCaffrey, according to all the metrics, have been consistent in doing so. But a lot of the times, he is Jaden's third and fourth read in the progression, and he's just not getting to him. So it's been interesting.
That's another name that I want to double down on when we come back, and then we'll get to the calls.
We get the question going because I think the question is brilliant.
Yeah, no. Absolutely, we will. So here's the question: is it a must win? Is it a you should win, or is it a low chance to win? And we don't like if you say, well, medium. No. That's not the answer that we're looking for because that's an easy way out. Must win, should win, or low chance to win. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We'll start knocking down your calls coming up as we continue along live here from Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia. Linnell's back in studio in D.C. along with Matty Ice and you at 301-230-0980. First, a quick trending alert right here, right now from Philadelphia. Indeed, the site of Thursday night football, the Washington Commanders off the 1-point loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Eagles off the blowout win in Dallas, who will take and draw first blood in an NFC East battle tonight here in South Philadelphia. We will all find out together beginning at 8:15. This show will take you, of course, until 4. I'll join Craig Hoffman at 6:30. We have Burgundy and Gold game day coverage throughout the day. DOC wraps it up after the game with your phone calls late into the night, win or lose. Meanwhile, we'll also have Talking Terps with Mike Loxley coming up after Craig Hoffman at 7 o'clock. So a little Maryland coverage for you. And then we'll rejoin B&G in game live. Meanwhile, from Major League Baseball, how about this? The Tampa Bay Rays, of course, you know the damage that was done to their roof at their home stadium in Tropicana Field. Well, they're going to stay in Tampa. They're going to play their entire 81-game home schedule at Steinbrenner Field on Dale Mabry Boulevard, right in the heart of Tampa. The only problem is that's the Yankee spring training complex. So the Rays are going to play all 81 games at the Yankees facility in Tampa this year. And that's what's trending. All right, right back at you here on a Throwdown Thursday, but it is a Burgundy and Gold Game Day Thursday as the Washington Commanders come to South Philadelphia to take on the surging Philadelphia Eagles. Should be a great matchup tonight in primetime. Again, we have you covered here until 4 o'clock. I'll rejoin Craig at about 6:30 tonight. We have Burgundy and Gold Game Day pregame with Denton Day and Toby. They'll take you through actually after Coach Locks and Terps Talk Live at 8 o'clock. They'll take you through the game, taking your calls, interact, all of that stuff. You've seen some of the crazy videos with D-Day and Linnell. And then Doc is with you post-game tonight, taking your calls, win or lose. The Commanders had 7-3 off the 28-27 loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and obviously we've dissected that game a lot. Could have, should have won, deserved to lose, maybe could have, should have lost, and they did. The Eagles at 7-2, so a half-game lead. Of course, they've played one less game than the Commanders off the 34-6 thrashing of the Dallas Cowboys. So, Linnell, when I ask you, is it a must win, is it a should win, or is it a low chance to win, you answer that how?
To call it a must win, I think would be hyperbolic, even for me. Just because a loss puts you at 7-4, but right. You have another matchup with Philadelphia, and then realistically, your main goal right now should be to win the NFC East and get yourself a home playoff game, depending on how the rest of the conference shakes out. Maybe you can get yourself a bye.
Right.
But even if you do lose tonight, all of your goals are still in front of you, and your schedule down the stretch is far more favorable than Philadelphia's is. But I think it's a should-win game. And it's a should-win for this reason. If Brian Robinson is healthy, so there's a caveat here.
Yeah.
If Robinson is healthy, if they are all hands on deck tonight, outside of Marshon Lattimore, obviously, this should be a should-win. I think defensively you got a tall task ahead of you. But on offense, I think Washington, if they can run the football, which they've been able to do every game that Brian Robinson's played, if they can run the football, I think Philadelphia can be had defensively. You just got to have balance. You can't turn one-dimensional against this group because of the talent they've got in their pass rush.
I agree.
But if you can keep them off balance and use the tempo to your advantage, and then don't beat yourselves.
And also keep their offense off the field.
Exactly.
You know, that might be a good idea, considering Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, Devontae. And maybe they catch a little bit of a break that Devontae Smith is not 100% healthy. And so far, Jahan Dotson hasn't done much. But Dallas Goedert came back and scored a touchdown, caught a touchdown last week on a play that I highlighted a couple of times already this week, and we'll get more into. All right, before we get to the calls at 301-230-0980, I said I didn't want anybody middle of the road, you know, 50-50. It's a coin flip game. But essentially, that's where I'm at, right? I do absolutely believe that they can, meaning the Commanders can, win this game. Should they, is the question. And the answer for me is, if they were healthy and this wasn't on a short week, and maybe if this wasn't in Philadelphia, and maybe if this team was just a couple of more, like, off of a bye and again, just healthier. Even with B-Rob returning to the lineup, remember, there still is no Marshon Lattimore. There still is no Austin Seibert. We still don't know if Andrew Wiley is actually going to play. I mean, I think he'll be active, being that he was active last Sunday, just didn't play. We still don't know how Brandon Coleman's going to hold up, if assuming he's going to be healthy and active. We still don't know if Cornelius Lucas is definitively going to come back. We have all of these issues and questions. So, for the purposes of the question, I lean more towards it's a should win, but I got to be honest with you, I am much more, again, 50-50 towards, and probably leaning towards the Eagles winning this game just because of all of the things that have now piled up against the Washington Commanders. And I know that's, again, I don't want to sit on the fence, so ultimately I'll probably say a lower chance to win than ideally I would want, but I do think they could win this game if they can somehow force, I don't know, 3 takeaways, and if they don't get bludgeoned by big plays.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, that's the number. What you said there at the end is the number one thing to me. You cannot give up explosive chunks in the pass game in particular. Mm-hmm. I think you can live with, and this is, I'm proving you right, I guess. You you caged animal. I guess you can get away with some of the explosive runs, but the explosive pass plays downfield is really what hurts you. But this is the thing. Jalen Hurts, the key to me is making him hold on to the football.
Yeah.
And I was doing some more research this morning from a numbers standpoint, man. You force him to hold on to the ball and he turns it over, it'll help you create pressure. He leads the NFL in time to throw, and he puts that offensive line of Philly in a bad spot pretty routinely. Mm-hmm. So if Washington can be disciplined in their rush and make him hold it, I think they're going to have a pretty good opportunity here tonight. I just worry about their ability to set the edge in the run game. Dante Fowler up against Jordan Mailata. I mean, as good as Dante's been, I don't like that matchup. Dorrance up against Lane Johnson, as good as they've been, I don't like that matchup. The one area defensively where I think they should be okay and what's going to help them out a ton is the familiarity that they have with this group. Dan Quinn coached with Kellen Moore in Dallas the past mm-hmm. couple of years. He's 4-2 against the Dallas Cowboys. Excuse me, against the Philadelphia Eagles as the DC.
Well, remember Kellen Moore was with the Chargers last year, not with the Cowboys last year. But to
before
your point,
that, yeah,
absolutely, absolutely.
But before that, and, so he knows what he wants to do.
He knows tendencies. He knows maybe overall scheme and you know, and that helps you on a short week too when you're not physically practicing. And Dan has talked about, as I think most coaches do, this is a week.
This
is a game above the shoulder.
And think about this, right? When they've had familiarity with the opposing quarterback, they have stymied them.
Yeah.
You go back to Kyler Murray in that Arizona game, and then you go back to Caleb Williams in the game against Chicago, a quarterback that Cliff knew very well. They stymied him. So I don't know how much that has to do with it. I know Brian Johnson knows Jalen Hurts as well as anybody, and you talk to people in Philadelphia, you ask Jalen's camp, he was super instrumental in him getting to this level as a quarterback. So you got to think he knows a couple of little secrets and tricks that'll throw Jalen off.
Yeah, before we get to the calls, you know, one thing that I would love to kind of see as this game plays out, besides what I said, like, you know, if they win this game, they're probably going to need three takeaways, which is a lot to ask, although they did have the four takeaways again 2 years ago when they won on that Monday night in this building. Again, it's a lot to ask. They had two last week. They ideally, in my opinion, need three. One thing I would love to see is a turnover on downs, you know, where you're not getting, per se, a true takeaway, but you're getting the turnover on downs because Nick Sirianni, instead of playing it safe, instead of playing it conservative, instead of going with one of the best place kickers in all of the NFL and Jake Elliott, he is more want 4th-and-3 from the 8-yard line to go for it. Now, it's great if you can get a stop. It's obviously backbreaking if you give it up because you're having to defend 4 downs instead of 3. But if it works in your favor, man, that is a huge, it's like a turnover, it's like a takeaway. And I don't always want to say it's because of the stupidity of the other team, but Sirianni is known for this. Sirianni's known to be reckless, aggressive, I think way over the top sometimes, especially inside the 15-yard line. And here's another thing. He's going to go for it probably at one point tonight in an unconventional spot for a 2-point conversion. And I think if you can take one of those off the board, you might be able to, again, give yourself a little shot in the arm, if you will. After you give up a negative, you get a positive, like you did against the Giants a couple of times where they stopped Dable and Daniel Jones twice on the 2-point conversions.
I agree with you. They're an offense that, while they've been rolling the past 6 weeks, since the bye week, the first part of the season, like we talked about this yesterday, they don't have much flow to their offense,
mm-hmm.
right? They rely heavily upon the chunk plays, and I guess we'll give our key players a little bit later on, but I'll give you a tease here. I just look at if Benjamin St. Juice could play the way he played against Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. minus the penalty and minus the Mike Williams touchdown,
they're gonna be in. Wait!
Yeah,
you're not allowed to.
I know, be honest
about Benjamin St. Juice.
I mean, he's the worst corner
in the NFL.
Yeah,
in the history of the NFL.
And for you all out there that think we're just being soft on him, it's not just me. It's not just Chris. Craig Hoffman said the same thing. I heard Dan Orlovsky talking about it earlier on NFL Live. So, We gotta chill. When you play as much man coverage as Washington does, you're going to get beaten. You're going to have penalties. That's just the nature of the coverage you're in.
I want to get into the whole man zone thing, one safety down, all that.
I got a stat, Chris, on that.
All right, we'll get into all of it. We'll take a quick timeout, reset here from Philadelphia. Nell's back in D.C.
We'll get to your calls, too.
With Matty
we're
Ice.
We're loaded
yes.
on the phones, Chris.
Absolutely.
You don't even know.
I do know. So I want to get to the calls right after this. We'll do all that. We got a lot to come. 301-230-0980. I'm from Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia before Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime. The Commanders and the Philadelphia Eagles in a battle for first place in the NFC East right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Stay with us. All right, it is a throwdown Thursday, but the only thing we're throwing down is Thursday Night Football from here in South Philadelphia at Lincoln Financial Field, where I'm doing the show. Linnell's back in our D.C. studios with Matty Ice and you on the phones at 301-230-0980. So, Nell, before and in lieu of continuing the show with all the great points that we're making, and, of course, we're making tremendous points that you're not
going to find
anywhere else, why don't we get some of the calls? Relax there. Relax.
Why can't I see? Is he getting his cage cleaned? Are you getting your cage cleaned? Is that why you're not? I can't look at you right now.
I don't know why you can't look at me. I can see you.
Well, if you're getting your cage cleaned, I don't want to see all that.
The cage is. Listen, I.
you're not quick enough on your feet. Come on, Rooster.
Just take the calls before I.
Yeah,
I
let's go to
wrap my claws around you.
Let's go to Ross in Tampa. What's up, Ross?
Ross. What's shaking, Ross?
Appreciate you, man.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, man, so I listened, and I we didn't even get to talk about this on the air. Ross sent me him and his buddy doing some NFL talking. Ross, you got it, man. You're a natural heel.
All right. I haven't heard this yet. I haven't heard this yet, so I got to go back.
I checked it out. He DM'd it to me on Instagram.
Okay.
I actually did check it out, which is rare, Ross. I'll be honest with you. People send me
Ross,
stuff all
I'm looking
the time.
I'm looking for a replacement every Wednesday and Thursday. do you want to fly up to DC?
I think Odyssey DC would have something to say about that, brother.
There you go, baby.
Yeah, man.
You, D-Day, and Russ, I'll send you the link, too, if Linnell forgets. I appreciate it.
Okay.
But in terms of tonight, I'm with Lenny. I think it's a should win. You know, we should win, but we have to play a perfect game. I don't think the Eagles are a team where we can afford to make all the boneheaded mistakes like I texted you about, Russ. It's just the simple things that will add up to a loss. And I'll be honest with you guys, I would rather play Detroit in Detroit, should we get to that point, than Philly in Philly playoff time. This is a playoff team, but this game tonight will determine what kind of playoff team. So
Ooh.
That's where I'm at with it. I think it's a should win.
Yeah, I
Attaboy, Ross. Attaboy.
I agree. Thanks, Ross.
Yes, sir.
By the way, I think while I'm a little bit more middle of the road and not wanting to commit to should win, officially I'll enter should win into my answer category. But again, I'm just trying to basically waffle a little bit, not like a waffle fry, which is an excellent fry. I'm just trying to waffle a little bit and just say, you know what? I would feel better about this game if they weren't as banged up.
Yeah.
And I think
a little bit
out of gas. And maybe even the quarterback's a little bit out of gas, too.
I mean, you couldn't make it an hour through the show without mentioning some sort of greasy fried food, huh?
Sorry, I had some Nathan's fries on the way up.
Wow.
At the Maryland
shout,
house.
Shout, shout out to Nathan.
They were Nathan's fries. They were not as hot and crispy as I was looking for.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, you know who's hot and crispy?
Mm.
Austin and Annapolis.
Ooh, wow. Spicy. What's up, Double A?
Happy birthday, Mr. Linnell. I'll see you in a few hours. It's your great celebration. Hopefully there's a lot of good-looking women there. So, you know, I'll say I think it's a should win because we're a good team. We're not a great team, but we're a good team. And if they control the clock by running the ball and they don't turn the ball over, I think they have a good chance to do that. The biggest key is keeping Philadelphia's offense off the field. You have a lot of mismatch when it comes to our defense versus their offense, but I think they should win, and I see it happening in overtime.
That, you know, there was once, it wasn't a Thursday night game, but there was a Monday night game back in 2014, Jay Gruden's first year against the 6-1 Dallas Cowboys. Nobody gave him a chance, and Colt McCoy and the Redskins went in there, caused all sorts of hell. They sacked Tony Romo 8 times. They won in overtime. Keenan Robinson with a big play, if you remember him, with a big sack or maybe it was a forced fumble. I can't remember. And they won that game again when nobody thought they should win. So if they win in overtime here, again, the message would still be the same now. And that's one thing that we've got to, you know, kind of also talk about, right, is, you know, people want to dream up like, well, what would a win mean? Well, for me, just a win would mean first place, head-to-head advantage, all the stuff that I care about. People care much more about headlines and theatrics and all that stuff. But if they win, period, anyway, by 1 point, by 10 points in overtime, ugly, pretty, what have you, if they win, it would send a very loud message. I don't know what the headline would be. It would send a very loud message to the rest of the NFL.
Chris, it's all about making a statement. And like I said, if they want to be start taken seriously, okay, you played the Ravens and the Steelers, two really good defenses. Philly's defense is not elite, okay? Mm-hmm. We can expose both of the night. And you know what they need to do? They need to pull out Bates tonight at tight end. They need to pull Sinnott and get them involved in the game somehow. When you have these third and three plays and it's getting down to the wire, pull something, you know, out of their rear end, you know, that they've been saving for a while to get those guys involved. And I'd love to see the emergence tonight of Luke McCaffrey.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's where I wanted to go. And thank you for the reminder, Double A. We appreciate you as always. I wanted to mention McCaffrey when we were talking about Noah Brown, when we were talking about the Commanders matchups at wide receiver against Quinyon Mitchell and Darius Slay. I think McCaffrey, and it's easy to say this because we've seen him flash open. We've seen him open. You know, Jaden hit him on that 22-yarder. I think it was 22 yards last week, and then just barely missed him on that crosser across the middle. We have seen Luke McCaffrey get open. Is tonight the night that they finally connect? And they have connected. That's not to say that they haven't connected. Obviously, one of the biggest plays of the game was Luke McCaffrey for a 31-yard gain or whatever it was on 4th and 2 in the Cincinnati game, which then set up a touchdown. But, I mean, is tonight the night where you walk away going, okay, Luke McCaffrey had 5 catches, 80 yards, and a score in a big spot on third down maybe?
It'd be a damn good time for it. I'd say that they need to win this game. It's not a must win, but they need it to silence that narrative that we keep talking about of, well, can they do it against a good team? And they, quite frankly, haven't been able to yet.
Have the Eagles done it against a lot of good teams this year?
No, they haven't.
Right,
but
so,
they should have beat it. I mean, they should have beat Atlanta for
real. Yeah, but maybe the narrative for this game is the same about both teams, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, could be.
All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We'll get back to the calls in just a couple of moments. End of hour number one right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Does Jaden Daniels have to be Superman in order for the Commanders to walk away with a W on their chest? We'll answer and ask that next hour as well. From here at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, Nell alongside, well, along the way as well, not alongside, but back in D.C. with Matty Ice and you at 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.